Today's AfriCast is brought to you by Westcon Comstore, your Microsoft 365 business partner.
Hello everybody, welcome to another edition of the AfriCast. My name is Brendan Lotz and joining me in studio today is Clinton Matos.
Hey, hello everybody, what's up?
And Robin Chetty.
Hey, how's it going?
Good everybody, thank you so much for joining us. You guys don't know the behind the scenes of this, but we've just spent 30 minutes fighting with a cable.
Well, in fairness, Brendan did. He did all the work. he put in the sweat and the blood and the swearing.
But I didn't swear.
Not on tape.
Right. Robin, what's been happening in the news this week?
Yeah, I guess something that could probably make you swear. So, as we know, SAA has been embattled, for lack of a better term, over the past few years. And things seem to be reaching ahead. And the most recent bit of news regarding SAA is that it's been placed into business rescue. And that decision was made by Minister Pravin Gordhan, who's the Minister of Public Enterprises, and it follows a statement he made at the weekend requesting that the SAA be put under a program where a radical transformation of the structure of the company was to be kind of be put in place.
What does that mean, though? I mean, like, radical transformation of a failing company to me says cut it at the knees and start again.
Well, to me, it sounds like cut off all the pieces that aren't working and just make it as lean as possible, and then we can start thinking about making it profitable.
So the whole company then.
So this kind of also follows a letter, well, rather a leaked letter that President Cyril Ramaphosa sent to his cabinet, also having a similar position in terms of sending the organization into a state of business rescue.
Yeah.
And we've written about it. At this stage, we're not too sure what it means for the immediate future of SAA. Or all we can say for now is that Gordhan was quite stressed the importance that this is not a bailout. So we're hoping that this isn't going to be like the same instance that's been happening over the past few years,
yeah,
where SAA has been bailed out by the government and things have been left to kind of deteriorate and get worse over time.
Yeah.
It's just a furnace that we keep funneling money into.
Yeah. So what's going to happen moving forward? Gordhan said that a rescue practitioner will be chosen and then essentially look at the airline and assist in terms of the management, kind of see what the best route is to take. So it's very much a case of let's see what happens.
I guess wait and see.
Most importantly for passengers, though, SAA says it's going to continue with its plans in terms of flight schedules and routes, and we're hoping that's going to be the case. At the time of recording, they haven't changed that messaging, so we'll see what happens, because next couple of weeks people will be traveling for the December holidays.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Do the engines on the planes maybe use money instead of jet fuel?
It could very well be the case.
Maybe they need to outfit the engines to run on jet fuel instead of
I think probably like dolphin
money.
Tears would be more...
Wow, guys. Wow.
Chicken teeth.
Clinton, what have you been keeping up with this week?
So Halo is now on PC. It was announced...
It wasn't on PC?
No, it wasn't.
Oh.
It was announced like I think a year ago, more than that the Halo Master Chief Collection would be coming to PC. But not all at once. We'd be getting one game at a time. And the first game we're getting is Halo Reach. It's now on Steam and the Xbox Game Pass for PC. I always get mixed up with that name. And it's been received generally well. There are a lot of problems. For example, if you play it through the Xbox Game Store for PC, so confusing. if you click play, nothing happens. The game just does, it just sits there, nothing happens. What you have to do is go through your taskbar and go to the app and launch it from there.
Oh my gosh.
And then there's another problem where you get to the main screen and then it hangs and then nothing happens. And then I looked online for an answer and people were like, no, you just have to wait like exactly 2 minutes and then it'll work. Like, that can't be real. And then the first time I tried that, it worked. So last night I sat down to play.
Typical PC game troubleshooting. It's
flipping Microsoft, dude. I sat down to play for 2 hours when I intended to sit down and play for 1 hour because I spent like an hour and 15 minutes trying to get it to work, and then I played for 45 minutes. And it's fine. I mean, you can tell it's a game from, I don't know when Reach is from, but it's from a while ago now. It does look a bit better. It does have a bit of an older control scheme in terms of how it plays, but it's good, and it's good to have the game back. I haven't tried the multiplayer yet because I know that's what everybody loves about Halo. And on Steam, it had in the first 24 hours 160,000 players, which is a lot.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, you know, it was actually just above Destiny 2 for a little bit, but now it's below that. Yeah, so you can check it out. You can buy Reach on its own from either store, or you can buy the Master Chief Collection and get all the games as they come out, or you can get the Xbox Game Pass for PC and pay. I think you can get an introductory 1 month for like $1, and then it's $15 after that. There's a lot of different specials out there for Xbox Game Pass, so just look it up. So, yep, it's Halo on PC. It's good for now, but lots of technical problems.
And then from my side, I have some more news relating to the Fourth Industrial Revolution.
What's that?
You don't know?
Never heard of it.
So Celsi has partnered with an educational institution called the Explore Data Science Academy. Basically what Explore does is they train data scientists, engineers, machine learning engineers, basically upskill folks. Their main goal appears to be digital transformation in a more professional light, or a higher skill light, essentially, rather than just here's how you use a computer, here's how you create an AI algorithm to manage your workflows, for instance. One of the cool things about Explore Data Science South Africa, Explore Data Science Academy, it's EDSA, which makes me think Explore Data South Africa, but it's not, it's Explore Data Science Academy. Gosh, I can't get this right. They actually are very, very selective about who they let into the academy. You have to go through a rigorous screening process, which involves an aptitude test, a coding boot camp, and then an interview, which is, it's all very, very, like, legit. They only let in, I think it's 100 students every year, and 24 of those students are now going to be funded by Celsi, which is very nice. 10 of those students are from Celsi itself, who says that they are trying to upskill their employees, which I think is really cool. Something really cool to note about EDSA is that last year they had 100 applicants at the academy, and 97 of them passed, and 93 of them went on to get jobs where the average salary is 350,000 rand.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's really, really good.
Are they perhaps looking for other...
I don't know. But yeah, we'll have a link to the story, which contains a link to Explore Data Science Academy's website. And if that's something you are looking at doing, I would recommend going and checking out their websites, especially if you're into machine learning or anything to do with the Fourth Industrial Revolution.
Or earning 350,000.
That would work as well. Those two organizations working together, it's nice to see a company giving back. And that's going to wrap up our news highlights for this week. Clinton.
Yes.
What have you been doing this week?
Lots of things, but what I'm talking about now is a show called Obsolete, which is, surprise, surprise, a YouTube original. So for those who don't know what that is, basically YouTube has a premium subscription. It used to be called YouTube Red, now it's called YouTube Premium. And it has a lot of benefits like watching without ads, you get access to Google Play Music, and one of them is you get access to YouTube Originals, which are shows that they have made. So the newest one is called Obsolete, and it is a Japanese mecha anime.
Scare PewDiePie season 2.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the reason I bring this up in the first place is that the YouTube originals kind of had bad reputation.
I don't know why, though.
Yeah, I think the first batch was kind of iffy.
Yeah.
And I think instead of trying to make new things, they went to a few of their big creators and been like, can you do something like a bit more with a bit of a higher budget? They're like, sure, I'll do something. And then they made those shows. But I think over the years it's gotten better. And this one is not my favorite. I still think Cobra Kai is the best one, which I'll get to at the end of this. Obsolete is really cool. It's a full CGI anime, which I know a lot of people don't like, especially after Berserk happened. So Berserk was a show that had really bad full CGI
animation. A lot of Netflix shows have gone the same way.
Yeah, and it's kind of become like a sore spot whenever you see a trailer. And this first trailer for Obsolete that released a little while ago, a lot of people got a bad impression because the frame rate is very low in the show. Yeah. So the good thing about that is in the show, it's still noticeable. I don't know, so Robin's looking. Do you see how it looked like they were slowed down?
It does look a bit janky. Yeah. And yeah.
So it's not as bad in the show because a lot of the show is machine on machine fighting, which I'll get to the premise of the thing. And when that's happening, it's less noticeable. When you see like a tank driving across a road or something, the low frame rate isn't as noticeable. So what is Obsolete about? It's about aliens visit Earth and they put out a signal and they say, we don't care about what you have to offer. They specifically say we're not interested in cultural or political exchange. We only want one thing. We want limestone, of all things. It sounds very weird. Listen, listen. So the aliens say, for every 1,000 kilograms of limestone, we'll give you, they called exoframes, a mech, right?
Yeah.
And people are like, what do you mean? And then you see some guy who's on a quarry, leaves it out as a joke, and the next day comes and there's a robot there. And the thing about the exoframes is that they're so cheap to get, because apparently we have lots of limestone in the world. They are so cheap to get that they start replacing everything. You don't need a tractor to farm. You don't need a car to go to work.
You just get an exo.
Exactly. And so Africa, it's quite interesting. Africa plays a big part in the show.
Oh.
Because now suddenly we have access to these machines.
Because we got so much limestone.
Well, I don't know if it's because we have limestone.
No, but we do. I mean, because, if you look in the Cradle of Humankind, this is just like general knowledge.
Yeah.
The Cradle of Humankind is basically covered in limestone. Okay.
So the reason the show is called Obsolete is because a lot of the world starts to get shaken up by this, right?
Oh, wow.
Because all the car manufacturers are now running with like headless chickens, and it's upsetting the balance between third world countries and first world countries, right?
Yeah.
To the point where America and a lot of the big countries kind of outlaw them and say, we're not going to use them and we don't want anyone else to use them. And other smaller countries, the ones they make particular mention, they don't say which African countries, they just say the sub-Saharan. But they do mention like India and Pakistan. They're like, we're going to use them. We don't care. Yeah. We're going to use them. And they start using them, and of course they start using them for warfare. And then you find out that these are you know, 1,000 kilograms of limestone. They can easily destroy, I think they make a point of it, like an M1 Abrams tank. It can destroy a tank that's worth $4 million and is very slow and takes lots of fuel and everything.
This sounds really interesting.
Yeah, and another really cool thing is about when you see the pictures of these exoframes in the marketing, they all look different. But the thing about it is all of them are the same underneath. They're all this like alien skeleton. Mm. And then people have started piling things on. Like the exoframe, you basically sit on it like a backpack. But then you're going to just get shot in the head, right? Yeah. So you have to build like armor around yourself, and then people put weapons on them. And then they've got like wheels on their knees. It's very weird. It's very anime. So yeah, it's got a really cool premise. And when you start really getting into it, that's when the like mech versus other mech and mech versus tanks and mech versus helicopter stuff happens. And I think that's where they spent the time doing the animation.
Yeah.
And then when you get to a point where you have a character outside of a mech doing something, you get that low frame rate, very CGI-looking animation. So I've watched it all because it's pretty short. There's 6 episodes. They're all around 13 minutes long, including like intro and outro and credits and everything. So it's like a short feature-length movie, an hour and a bit. And it's really good. I recommend it. The full series is out now if you're a premium subscriber. If you're not a premium subscriber, you can watch the first full episode. And then they said they're going to release the other 5 on a weekly basis, which non-premium subscribers can watch for free with ads.
Okay.
So you can watch the trailer and then this first episode and, you know, see if it's for you. I think the first episode doesn't dig into like socio-political, geopolitical stuff, which really makes it interesting in my opinion. But it does show off the kind of action and what you can expect.
It sounds really interesting though.
Yeah, I really recommend
it. I don't watch anime, but I'm like, I could watch this.
It's really weird because it's in Japanese. It's made by a Japanese company. But none of the characters in it are Japanese except one.
Are they all from the USA?
No, yeah, so a lot of people are like US Marines using these things.
Yeah.
And then this guy's name is like Walk or something, and then he speaks Japanese, and it's hilarious. And then, like I said, a lot of it is in Africa, and then they're speaking Japanese. It's very weird. But thankfully, there is full subtitles, and it's not like user-generated subtitles. It's not automatic subtitles. Okay, cool. It's proper subtitles from the script. In English, French, German, Japanese, Korean, Brazilian, Portuguese, Russian, and Spanish. So there's quite a lot of...
All the African languages.
Yeah, all the African languages. I really recommend it. And because of this, I want to recommend, like, if you're going into the holidays, you don't have a lot to watch, I recommend picking up a month of premium. Because you can watch this. You can watch Cobra Kai, which I've written about on the site before, which is a continuation of The Karate Kid, which is a lot of fun. It's such a good show. Like, it's so surprising because the concept is bonkers. I mean, the concept for this is also bonkers. We'll give you limestone and then we get a robot in return. It's very weird. And Cobra Kai sounds like a cash grab. Hey, we're going to continue The Karate Kid.
But it's really good.
Yeah, Cobra Kai is fantastic. And then the third show is called Impulse. And Impulse is kind of, I don't know if you guys remember the movie Looper.
Yeah.
Which had Hayden Christensen and he could teleport. It's the same.
Wasn't it... It was
Hayden Christensen.
Wasn't Looper...
Not Hayden Christensen. Yeah. She's an actress.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
No. It's the guy from Star Wars. It was Anakin Skywalker.
Yeah, he was...
No, that's a different movie.
No, it's the same movie.
Hold on.
That's a different movie.
I promise you, he was...
Bet you R1 million, which I don't have.
No.
Looper is a different movie.
Okay, no. Okay. I just want to get his name.
Doom.
Yes, okay, it is Hayden Christensen.
Yeah.
He's right. Looper is the time travel thing with Gordon Levitt.
Oh.
We're thinking of Jumper.
Yes. You see? Okay, all right.
I remember that one where like they pulled like a London bus through a portal.
Yeah, okay. So it's like the movie Jumper, where Hayden Christensen jumps, he teleports around the world.
Oh, and okay. So Looper was also with Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
And it's actually funny because Mace Windu, Samuel Jackson, is also in Jumper with Anakin Skywalker. So yeah, Impulse is also really good, but I don't think it's as good as Cobra Kai or Obsolete. And I think if you watch those three shows in a month, you'll get your premium's worth. Obsolete only has one season right now, and there's no mention of another season yet. Cobra Kai has two seasons, with the third one coming next year, and Impulse has two seasons, and the second season just came out, I think, a few months ago.
Just as an aside, or an addition as well, is Michael Vsauce here. His original show, Mindfield, is also incredibly interesting.
And again, the first episodes of all of these shows are available to watch for free to get a taste of it.
But yeah, maybe for December, pick up a YouTube premium
and just find out about the price of limestone. Maybe we're missing something.
Yeah, guys.
It sounds so ridiculous. I should have let you guys watch the trailers. I didn't come out sounding like an absolute fool there. Anyway, that's Obsolete. If you like Mecha, if you like... CG animation, which a lot of people don't, but of course I love mechs and I was instantly drawn to this and it was a good time, thankfully.
So onwards we press. Now we're going to talk a bit about PC hardware. So the European Hardware Association recently conducted a survey of 10,000 respondents to determine what sort of hardware they prefer putting in their computers. And for, I think it's the first time in this decade at least, AMD has actually surpassed Intel as the most popular CPU amongst enthusiast PC builders. So your enthusiasts are usually your people that are looking for the best of the best. They're looking for the best price to performance that they can get. And AMD has come out tops. So the chairman of the European Hardware Association said that this is largely due to Ryzen 3000, which is the latest CPU SKU released, offers better performance under multi-threaded workloads and also under lightly threaded applications like PC games. To give you an idea of how popular AMD is at the moment, 60% of respondents said that they would pick an AMD CPU over an Intel CPU, which I think is very, very interesting because Intel has had the market share for a very long time. That has largely been due to their chips being better performers than AMD. I've been an AMD fan for a very long time, but I will admit that Intel has had better chips up until the latest releases of Ryzen. Not necessarily saying that all Ryzens outperform Intel's, but the price that you pay versus the performance that you get is quite a lot bigger. Yeah.
And this has kind of forced Intel to reduce the prices on their top-end things, which confirms something everyone's known forever, is that Intel just... Oh, I want to say a word there. They really bend people over for those high-end chips because for a long time there was no competition. And they said, hey, if you want the best, you're going to pay the premium for the best, and then you're going to pay a premium on top of that because we can and there's no competition.
So something interesting to note that the EHA found. So what they did is they asked people like what sort of system you would prefer. Would you prefer an AMD CPU with AMD graphics, or an AMD CPU with NVIDIA graphics, or Intel with AMD and Intel with NVIDIA? And the most popular among those is AMD and NVIDIA graphics. So that kind of says that AMD's graphics may still be lagging behind NVIDIA, which is the case. Mm-hmm. I think we can all agree there that the RTX 20 series, I don't even know what they are anymore, 2080 Super, I think is the newest one. They are just really good graphics cards.
There's no actual like apples to apples comparison at the top for graphics cards.
And then obviously behind that is the AMD and AMD configuration. In terms of Intel, this I found incredibly interesting. When you have an Intel CPU, people seem to be very hesitant about picking AMD graphics. And NVIDIA is the clear, Intel NVIDIA combo is the clear winner there. In terms of that skew, with AMD still making up the largest portion of the selections by enthusiasts.
That's weird, because for a long time the middle market was usually Intel CPU with AMD GPU, because that was usually the best price to performance.
So to put this into numbers, NVIDIA is preferred by 72.8% of the respondents. And yeah, I think this is just a very interesting shift. And I kind of wanted to talk about this, especially since I own a Ryzen 3000 CPU. I think the biggest advantage that AMD has over Intel at the moment is the size of their process. So at the moment, Ryzen 3000 is running on a 14 nanometer process, which, number one, draws less power. The TDP wouldn't tell you that. But it also performs staggeringly well because of the smaller architecture. You can put more transistors, simplifying this a lot, more transistors, which means that you can get better performance out of it. And I think Intel is still stuck on 10 nanometer as far as I'm aware. I stand to be corrected, but I think that they are still stuck on 10 nanometer. 7 nanometer is what Ryzen 3000 is on. Why am I going on about 14?
Because
7.
This is really complicated.
Yeah, so 7 nanometer is what AMD is on, and Intel is still on 10, which is very, very interesting, given that Intel has had the market share for the lion's share of the market for such a long time. And I also think it's indicative of Intel having rested on their laurels for the longest time, kind of going, everybody's always going to pick us. And then AMD comes out with Ryzen and goes, well, we're just going to take that from you.
It's free real estate.
Another thing to note is something that's not mentioned here is their high-end desktop CPUs. So you're looking at your Ryzen and your Threadripper and your i9s chips. Mm-hmm. These are not included here. But even in that regard, AMD is kind of beating Intel in performance where that counts as well. And I think we're going to start seeing in 2020 a lot more high-end sort of workstation grade notebooks and PCs running Ryzen architecture because it's just better.
Yeah, so the great example of this is that I actually have to upgrade my PC now. It's very fortuitous that this is happening now. And I'm in my price range, I'm probably going to get a 3600 based system, a Ryzen 5 3600 based. Because for the same money, the only thing I can get is the i5, which has 6 less threads, which is
terrible.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
I can't remember which i5 I was looking at, but it also has six physical cores, but it has half as many threads.
Yeah.
And I know if you're listening to that, you might think, okay, the performance difference between them is huge. It isn't that huge, but it is very noticeable. And for the money, it can't be beat.
Yeah.
It really can't. If you go onto any forum for people looking to buy PCs, Ryzen is just always recommended for the mid-range and the higher range. And sometimes the lower range. In the lower range, a lot of people are getting APUs.
Yeah.
You just get a Ryzen and you don't get a graphics card.
Because you get Vega graphics with it.
Yeah.
You get RX Vega graphics with it.
That's all you need. So. And a lot of even... complete systems, like system builders who provide to offices or schools or whatever, are doing the same thing. You just stick a Ryzen in there and the job's done.
So something to note as well is that while NVIDIA has the market share in terms of GPUs, the aggressive pricing of the Radeon RX 5700 and 5700 XT products are starting to make an impact on the market as well. And I think this is where AMD kind of has the edge over the likes of Intel and NVIDIA, is that nobody expects them to come out with something that costs $20,000, you know? Or what was that crazy $2,000 chip from Intel? I mean, nobody expects AMD to do that because that's not what they're about. They're about how much bang can we give our customers for as little buck as possible. I mean, that's not to say that AMD likes not making money. I'm sure that they love making money, but I think at the end of the day, their main goal is to get some of that market share that they've lost over the years back, which I think is a fair point for them to be pursuing. But yeah, I think that next year will prove very interesting from both an Intel and NVIDIA standpoint to see what those two companies do, because the time for them to be the leaders in the market is over, and they really need to do something to improve their stance in the market and also consumer confidence, because I think a lot of people are looking at AMD and going, well, like you saying, like, I can get a really good chip for this price. Whereas with AMD, I mean, with Intel, I get a lesser chip.
Six less cores. It's ridiculous.
Which is, that is pathetic. I mean, like...
And they're almost exact. I mean, on EVTEC, the upgrade kit I was looking at, where they have comparable motherboards, the exact same RAM, and the exact same price. I think it was 6.5. The i5 just, it can't compete.
Yeah.
It really can't.
I mean, let's be honest. I think more and more games are demanding that you have an i7. Like, I'm sure there will be games that will be like, yeah, i5 is fine. But if you want to play the latest stuff at a decent frame rate, at a decent resolution, you need to be running high-end kit nowadays. Or at the very least, the top of the mid-range kit.
Yeah.
And I don't think that Intel caters to that market anymore. I think it's either enthusiasts or high-end desktop.
I think Intel is... looking at the bottom and they're looking at the top.
Yeah.
If you want something like that can just open Chrome for or you want something where, you know, it's EPIN, it's just to show off, or it's legitimate business uses, those two places, and then they've just kind of given, I don't think they've given up, but I think they're really getting beat in the middle market.
Yeah. And that's kind of, I think that's where the money is at the end of the day. People buy PCs and hold onto them for longer, but those components might eventually break. But yeah, I'm curious to see what happens in 2020, especially with what's happened in the past couple of months with AMD cutting prices right before NVIDIA releases graphics cards, right before Intel releases CPUs. It's a fantastic time to be alive watching these companies go at each other's throats.
Who would have thought that AMD would come back, eh?
I did.
Everybody.
I believed.
Yeah, so did I.
I believed.
The first PC I ever had an AMD graphics card, and now when I upgraded this year, I got another one because they can't be beaten. Anyway.
My first PC was AMD-based, completely AMD, from the GPU to everything. It was glorious. But anyway, right, Robin.
Team Red.
We are going to cut... through the magic of editing to an interview. Who are you speaking to?
Yeah, the wonders of technology are going to allow us to speak to Prabhashini Reddy. She is one of the product managers for the Microsoft brand at Westcon Group, who is a local distributor. And we got to chat a bit about Microsoft 365.
Yeah.
As people might be aware of Office 365, that's kind of more the consumer-facing end of their software. Yeah. Microsoft 365 Business is... for businesses. So we're going to chat about kind
Surprise.
Of what the focus is for that end of the kind of software that they offer.
I think that is a point that we should definitely highlight, is that it's not Microsoft 365 is not just Office 365.
Yeah, it's not. It's just a simple rebranding. There are deeper tools that work here, and that's what we're going to chat about. So,
cool, fantastic. So, we'll be back right after this.
With Microsoft 365 Business, connected experiences improve productivity. This is your business will always be up to date with the latest versions of Word, Excel, and a lot more. It also allows you to connect with customers through Outlook and Exchange, while Microsoft Teams keeps everyone on the same page with group chat, online meetings, and calling.
Hi, this is Robin Echeni reporting for Hypertext, and joining me today is Prabashini Reddy. Prabashini is the Microsoft CSP product manager here at Westcon Comstock, and today we're talking about Microsoft 365 Business. So first of all, thank you, Prabashini, for joining me.
Thank you, Robin.
Yeah, before we kind of get into the meat of today's interview, I was perhaps wondering if you could just chat a bit about your role here at Westcon Comstock.
So like you mentioned, I'm Prabashini Reddy, and I'm the CSP product manager for Sub-Saharan Africa. So my portfolio consists mostly of Microsoft 365, Office 365, and Dynamics.
So Microsoft 365 Business, what is it? Because a lot of customers will be familiar with Office 365, so how is it different in that regard?
Okay, so Microsoft 365 is very different from Office 365 in terms of the Windows 10 component, okay? So Microsoft 365 does comprise of Office 365, but it's built more for with the security features that Microsoft is just trying to drive more the security benefit of their products now. So I think with Microsoft 365 Business, it's pretty much Windows 10 with Office 365 Business Premium.
Sure, I understand. So who should be considering adopting Microsoft 365 Business?
I would definitely say our small to medium-sized business enterprises. And looking at the South African landscape, SMEs make up, or small businesses make up, the majority of our businesses. And these are businesses who have very little IT resources and staff who can actually manage their IT environments.
Yeah. So you talk about managing IT environments. Mm-hmm. Security is obviously a big thing that SMEs need to worry about. In terms of being able to help protect PCs, how does Microsoft 365 Business assist there?
Okay, that's a great question, Robin. PCs are managed with Microsoft 365 Business and are protected with Windows Defender, which is the number one antivirus feature on Windows 10. And it protects your computers against viruses, malware, and spyware.
So some of the other elements you mentioned there was improving productivity, fostering greater collaboration in the workplace. How would a solution like Microsoft 365 Business do that?
The collaboration tools speaks mostly about Teams. Mm. So Teams is the talk of the market at the moment, and I think this will give partners an opportunity to sort of migrate to Teams and sort of enjoy the capabilities and of the collaboration tools that Teams has to offer. With Microsoft 365, you can protect your business's vital information whilst you ensure that your team can access files and data that you need regardless of the location.
I see. Right. So you mentioned Office 365. There are, I'm assuming, customers that are happy with that solution. What would you say to those individuals that should be moving to Microsoft 365 Business, as well as understanding if you, for example, move your employees to that solution, will a subscription be required?
Well, the good thing about the CSP model is the flexibility. Mm-hmm. So if you want to move your Office 365 to M365, you just switch off and switch on. So there's no risk or downtime or there's no challenge that is for the business, you know. So for me, with the CSP model and moving from Office 365 to Microsoft 365 is an easy move.
Perfect. I'm assuming being able to scale, especially for a business owner, has its advantages as well. I'm assuming that there's also a lot of cost benefit to that in terms of going for that kind of model.
Absolutely. So with CSP, there is, whether you're on Office 365 on-prem or if you're in the cloud, with CSP, it's an OPEX model, so you pay monthly. So like I said, with the flexibility of CSP, you can switch on, suspend, increase, decrease licenses as it fits your business, as it suits your business.
I guess kind of sticking with costs, I'm assuming there are a lot of customers who might be feeling that if they go for MS365, they would essentially be banked twice if they, for example, had a Windows 10 Pro account. Is that the case? And perhaps dispel some rumors, some misinformation in that regard?
Absolutely. So customers who are already on Windows 7, 8, or 8.1, they qualify for the Windows 10 upgrade benefit that comes with Microsoft 365. So this, in my mind, this is an easier way to upgrade to Windows 10, especially because there's no upgrade SKU available on CSP. With Windows 10 installed on your PCs, you can deploy Windows 10 Business on top of that to get all your cloud services and device management capabilities that complement Windows 10 Pro.
I'm assuming there are quite a few different tiers to Microsoft 365 Business. So I understand Premium and Enterprise. What are the differences there?
Okay, so Microsoft 365 Business is pretty much your Office 365 Business Premium and your Windows 10. And Microsoft 365 Enterprise is a set of licensing plans that pretty much offer very increased levels of mobility and security management. So those include also the EMS component, which Microsoft 365 Business does not have. And that's what basically the bundle or the solution is of Microsoft 365. It includes the Windows 10, the Office 365, and the EMS component.
I see. So let's say, for example, my organization is looking to go for one of those tiers. Which kinds of organizations are, say, better suited for the different tiers?
Okay, so Microsoft 365 Business is more your SMB, and the Microsoft 365 Enterprise is more for your bigger businesses. So it's basically businesses over 300 users.
Okay.
Yeah, and Business Premium or Microsoft 365 Business is for below 300 users.
Understand. Okay. You touched quite a bit about the cloud. Obviously, there's a huge announcement earlier this year with regards to Microsoft Azure and having a local data center presence. What value does that hold now if you take Microsoft 365 Business into account?
So data sovereignty is always a big issue, especially with GDPR and PoPI. A lot of businesses want to keep their information or their data within the borders of the country.
Sure.
So this works for banks, it works for government. So in order for us to move people to the cloud quicker and build that confidence, having a data center in South Africa makes that shift much more easier.
Yeah, you mentioned government fintech. I would assume SMEs also tend to benefit from it.
Absolutely.
As well.
So small businesses as well who want to keep their information local can. There's obviously benefits to that in terms of cost. The time's closing now to move data from Western Europe to South Africa. Partners have until the 25th of January to make sure if they want to move data from Western Europe to South Africa, the cutoff is the 25th of January.
All right, so time is definitely running out for that.
Absolutely.
All right, so I think that really covers everything. Before we conclude, is perhaps anything else you'd like to mention about Microsoft 365 Business?
So Microsoft is really driving security, and it's really proving in the market that it's really a contender amongst the other security vendors. So so just watch out for all the security products.
Perfect, sounds great.
Yeah.
So thanks again to Prabhashini for joining us. We will link to all of the Microsoft 365 stories we've written over the past couple of weeks, as well as a link to Westcon Comstore's website, and you can get more information from them there. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Cool.
Microsoft 365 Business integrates your workflows and transforms how you manage your business. It enhances your customer relationships by allowing your business to manage its customers, streamline feedback, and also integrates with hundreds of third-party cloud apps, allowing for one-off sign-in to access all your tools.
Awesome. Thanks for having a chat to us, Prabhashini. Thanks, Robin, for chatting to her.
No problem.
That was really, really interesting. If you have any more questions regarding Microsoft 365, there'll be details at the bottom of this post. You can click through to them and get some more information. But that's going to be it from us this week. Thanks so much for tuning in. From myself, Brendan Loss, cheerio, from Clinton Matos.
Bye, everybody.
And from Robin Chetty.
Bye-bye.
We'll see you all next week. Cheerio.
Businesses need to protect what matters most: employees, data, and customer information. With intelligent security built into Microsoft 365 products, your business is able to stay in control by protecting against malware while keeping critical data and customer information safe, even when it is accessed on employees' personal devices.